Welcome back to a Halloween edition of Fesco and Dusty, our first one together. Please take it easy on us. The 6-2 Texans are underdogs to the 2-6 Jets tonight. Houston, +110, has received over 10 times more moneyline bets than New York at -130.
Okay, so what do you say about that? How does that factor into how you're going to bet the game tonight?
So say it one more time.
Everybody's betting Houston.
Yeah. Everyone's betting Houston.
Houston has 10 times more money line bets at +110 than the Jets do at -130.
That makes me want to bet New York.
Mm-hmm. Do it. Also, how old were you when you realized it's called candy corn? Because if you stack it up, it looks like corn. You ready to get your mind blown?
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. Now I just want to buy candy corn to do this.
That would take too much time. Do you glue all those together? Wow, that's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap.
It still sucks.
Did you see the guy said to eating the banana like a corn on the cob? Is that Mac?
You ever seen anybody eat a taco like that?
No.
Yeah, they're normally in jail.
Oh, God.
So we talked about this before we went to the break. The NBA's viewership is declining per awful announcing. Mm-hmm. This is from NBA Central. ESPN's, and I think Max can agree with me on this. I think you could probably come around to agreeing on this.
Okay.
Because I feel like your take is people just don't enjoy the NBA in the United States. They enjoy football and baseball.
Yeah, those right? are your top two sports in the okay. United States. I also think that we're at a time where, like, there's so many options
right,
for you.
There we go. So you're starting to feel what I'm throwing here. So ESPN's opening doubleheader averaged 1.6 million viewers, down 42%. From 2023's debut with Victor Wembanyama. The Bucks versus 76ers, 1.71 million viewers, down from 2.55 million for Celtics versus Knicks in 2023.
To me, that's like apples to oranges, though. Okay. You're comparing Milwaukee and Philly to Boston and New York, like the two premier teams in the NBA, right?
And Philly had no Joel Embiid and no Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
The Suns versus Clippers, 1.52 million viewers, down 49% from last year's comparable game. TNT's Thursday's game, Spurs versus Mavs, 1.45 million viewers, a 29% decrease from the previous year's comparable game. Mm-hmm. ESPN's Friday game, Pacers-Knicks, 830,000 viewers, fewer than college football game on ESPN2.
Well, I'm not surprised by that. It is college football. It's still America, and right. football's our pastime for the most part, right?
I think the problem that the NBA has right now is that this is like, you know how baseball goes through like the dog days of summer?
Yeah.
The NFL doesn't do that. Like the NFL, we are going to watch Houston and the Jets tonight. I'm going to be on Amazon Prime.
I can't wait for this game.
That's what I'm saying. Because
I'm glad I'm not the only one. Right, like Houston Jets. I'm like, I can't wait to get the 720. Right.
But that's the thing. Is like the NBA, not every state has a team.
Right.
Also, the NBA, kind of like the MLB, is too long of a season. 81 games, 82 games. I don't need that many games, right? And right now, the NBA is just kicking off. Like, there's not a lot to be found in the season of the NBA. And the NFL, you look at tonight, for instance. Mm-hmm. We're not anywhere near Houston, anywhere near New York. But there are so many storylines that affect this station tonight. And again, number one being the betting line, right? Yeah. Like, in Kansas, you can legally bet. So you're like, okay, we're having the discussion all morning. Jets, Houston, who do you take? Blah, blah, blah. What we're not having the discussion about right now is, all right, so the Denver Nuggets play tonight. Do you think Michael Porter Jr. has over 2.5 3-point shots? Like all this sort of stuff. Nikola Jokic is due for a triple-double. But what we're talking about is, okay, the over-under is 42 tonight. Houston 6-2. They're an underdog. They're one of the better teams in the AFC. They have the better quarterback. They have the better coach. They have the better roster. But New York. And then come 7 o'clock, when your doorbell is starting to slowly not ring anymore and you're done passing out candy, you're going, all right, go to Amazon Prime, leave it here. We'll just watch this game. Why? Because football doesn't have a point, right? Like it could literally be Arizona, Seattle. You're watching. More people do fantasy football. More people do bets on football. More people are entertained by football. I think the viewership is down because you're taking it at a wrong time. I would like to see the viewership of the NBA come February.
Okay, yeah. And
that's like the middle of the season for the NBA.
And at that point in time, there's really not a lot of competition
for
the NBA,
right? You just can't compete with the NFL.
You can't, but a lot of this isn't even competing with the NFL. And I'll take it one step further. I'm 100% on board. There's too many regular season games in baseball. There's too many regular season games in hockey. There's too many regular season games in the NBA.
Well, basketball players hate playing the back-to-back.
It's stupid. Yeah. It really is. It's dumb. It's not fair to the players. You're investing millions and millions of dollars into players. You want them to be healthy and ready to go, playing 48 minutes on two consecutive nights. Mm-hmm. Again, I've talked about the experience I had in San Antonio, and once I sat courtside and covered the Spurs for 2 years and watched what goes on an NBA floor, how these guys are playing back-to-back games 25 years later now is beyond me. Nobody, I mean, these guys are battling the entire time. So it is a very taxing sport. So knock off 20 games. Go to a 62-game schedule or something like that, right? Or, you know, in baseball, go to a 100-game schedule, because America has shown we will watch games that matter. I mean, 13, 14, 15 million people are watching the World Series every night, right? And I know it's L.A., New York, so it's a little bit different, but people will watch postseason
I'm in that
sports.
Defense. I told everybody on this show that I wasn't going to watch
you
one
watched
pitch.
Every
I
pitch.
Watched every game.
You watched every pitch, right?
Everything was involved. I watched it.
Because it was compelling. So America has shown if it's compelling, we will show up. May on a Tuesday in baseball, not compelling. Tuesday night, NBA, October. Just not compelling. I was reading this article on OutKick, and they compared the ratings of NBA teams to Major League Baseball teams in the same market, right? Mm-hmm. So Celtics, Red Sox, Yankees, Knicks, or however you want to look at it, right? And just about every market, the Major League Baseball team on that regional network, which shares with the NBA, blew the NBA out of the water. Mm-hmm. Atlanta, the Braves get a 3.62 average rating, the Hawks, 0.59. Mm. Red Sox, 5.25. Celtics, 2.67. Chicago, Cubs, 4.11. Bulls, 1.36. Cleveland, the Indians, 6.55. Cavaliers, 3.32. Dallas, Rangers and Mavericks, pretty much tied. Mm-hmm. Denver, Rockies. The Rockies, one of the worst teams in baseball, 3.05. Nuggets, one of the more compelling teams in the NBA, 1.4 rating. Mm-hmm. Like, so in same markets on the same TV station, baseball is still beating the NBA. And so when people say baseball is dead, it isn't. It is still the number two sport in the United States. And I think took a big step forward in asserting themselves as the number two sport in the U.S. this year alone.
Yeah. The other thing I want to talk about with the NBA is that, like, do you think it hurts that there's not, like, a true face? Like, do you think LeBron is still the face of the NBA?
I think so. Yeah, I really do. I think when you think about the casual NBA fan, to which I am more the casual NBA fan, if you want to put it in that category, you think of LeBron first.
When
you really do.
When Jordan left, Kobe was waiting in the ranks, right?
Right.
And it took a little bit for kind of Kobe to really kind of take over with that role where it was like, okay, Mamba, Kobe, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And nobody really wanted to move on from Jordan. And
they
then,
still don't.
No, which they shouldn't. I mean, he's one of the best athletes we've ever seen play a sport. And, you know, with what's going on right now in the NBA, like, it's no secret. Like, Steph's career is coming to an end. LeBron's career is coming to an end. And then it's like, well, who's going to carry the torch
Bronny
after this? He got his first points last night.
In Cleveland.
Yeah,
I mean,
hilarious.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
But, like, who's the next? And does any of these guys move the needle for you? Like, does Anthony Edwards do it for you? Like,
I mean, he's the next fun, guy. But is he big enough to be the next guy?
I mean, I would hope. Yes. I mean, he's in a market that's big. He's in Minnesota.
Yep. Passionate market.
He can now shoot three-pointers, which is scary as hell for those of you that follow the NBA, because now it's like, oh, you're going to guard him tight on the arc? Okay, well, then he's just going to go right by you and dunk it.
But what if he was playing for the Lakers, Boston, or New York? He'd be a huge
massive
face.
Massive.
Everybody would be
talking
about
it. And I think the other problem is you have,
I mean,
like,
is he not a huge face?
Yeah, I think for, like, the NBAers
I think for the casual NBA fan, though, no.
Oh, I think everybody's ready for him to be the face. I think that's the guy. Wembanyama could be the guy, but again, he's not an American athlete. I know that doesn't matter to a lot of people, but it does to most.
The three best players in the NBA are not American.
Correct.
I think that's a factor.
Yeah,
I think that's
Giannis,
a big factor.
Jokic, and Wembanyama are your three best. And the other thing, too, Doncic as well. The other thing, too, about it is, like, people are kind of tired with the NBA. Like, I was listening to my buddy talk to me about Bomani Jones's podcast, how they're like, the sport doesn't change. Like, they can't because there's too much money that would go into it. Like, you need to change the court, eliminate the corner three, like, have, like, the court dimensions change.
Why are we reinventing basketball all of a sudden?
Because it's been figured out, and now people are just shooting
threes.
His favorite team the Celtics shoot 43 pointers a night. And if they they hit them, it's fun. Yeah. But when teams are just going back and forth missing
it's
threes,
terrible.
People are like, eh.
That's why college basketball for me, that's why I just don't really like it anymore. It's a terrible product.
And that's another thing. People don't watch college basketball until March.
Until March. Yeah, like, nobody's paying attention. And then those guys that you see in March don't go to the NBA because the first 10 picks are coming from overseas leagues that nobody's seen play. I do think that does hurt. I mean,
and the majority of people that watch the NBA as a fan of not just locked in, not like Mac and I, the people that like start to care about the NBA don't care until June.
Well, yeah, exactly. For the finals.
Same thing as college. They don't care until March.
To the tournament, right? And I remember a friend of mine saying that years and years and years ago that I grew up with. He goes, nobody cares about college basketball to March. I'm like, you're out of your mind. Oh, my God, you're right. Mm-hmm. And it's true.
Somebody makes a good point. I don't know any of the names in the NBA anymore. Well, and SportsCenter was my exposure to the NBA. That era is over, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was as a kid, too. I was thinking about, like, they're talking about the youth of America not watching sports anymore. And I was thinking to myself back when I was a kid, back in my day, and you guys probably have the same feelings, but how many games did you actually watch? I remember watching every football game, right? Every Giants game with my dad. Very randomly saw a baseball game because they were on pay TV at the time and we weren't paying for that kind of stuff. But I remember watching SportsCenter every morning as a kid, and that's how you knew what was going on in the sports world. And you know, you don't really have that anymore. You just have people screaming at each other on TV now.
Mm-hmm. Let's see your talent.
Just like that guy.
So
we didn't get to it, but I want to get into it a little bit later on the show because we got a couple hours left about the WNBA rumors to Kansas City. But let's follow up with what was the hot topic yesterday, not only on this show, The Drive, and Cody and Gold. Anthony Richardson, their coach, came out and described why the benching was necessary. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Mac Morey, Bob Fesco as well with you here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
To Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Well, I hope you're not waking up with arthritis pain this morning, but if you are, I've got something that you need to hear because you don't have to keep living with that joint pain. Real, lasting relief is possible with help from my friends over at QC Kinetics. People here are getting their lives back, getting their mobility back, thanks to QC Kinetics. And my friends at QC Kinetics are the nation's leader in cellular therapies that can revitalize your joints. So have you had the night where you look at the stairs and you can't make it up there tonight because my knees hurt? Or you're looking outside at all those leaves and you're saying, can't get the job done today, my shoulder, my back, my elbow, they're all sore. What should I do? Well, I'm talking about advanced regenerative medicine, using your own body's healing properties, highly concentrated and carefully placed right in your achy joint. Whether it's back pain or shoulder pain or knee pain, these are cutting-edge treatments that require no surgery, no drugs, and no downtime. It's a quick in-office procedure that can get you moving again. So if arthritis pain is keeping you from doing the things you love, that pain in your knees, your hips, your back, or your shoulder, then you owe it to yourself to call my friends over at QC Kinetics for a free consultation. 816-412-6299. That's 816-412-6299. QC Kinetics off 435 in State Line and in Gladstone. 816-412-6299.
Welcome back into it. Happy Halloween.
Boo.
To all of you out there. You know why the skeleton crossed the street alone?
Hang on, let me think about this. Because he had no body to cover him?
That's right.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. He had no body to go with is the actual joke.
I was thinking of something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
The dad got the dad joke.
That's right. He should. I mean.
He absolutely should.
Yeah.
That's right.
I like a good dad joke.
If they're right.
If they're right.
Yes.
There's been some bad ones. Spectre used to try to tell dad jokes all the time. They just were not funny.
Well, now he is a dad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so surprised that they asked Juan Soto if he expects to go to the Mets, and he just immediately was like, I don't know what the teams that are going to come after me. Like, why wouldn't you just say I'm not worried about right now? Like, just, I don't have any closed doors. I'm going to be available for all 30 teams. Like, why don't you just be like, you know what? We just lost the World Series. Like, that's the difference between, like, guys like that and Mookie Betts, right? Like, two nights ago, Mookie Betts the hand thing. Hey, we lost. We're moving on. Nobody wins. It is what it is. Juan Soto loses the World Series and immediately makes it about himself.
Well, did he or did they ask him about that?
They did, but, I mean, normally in that situation, how many times do you see a Super Bowl winner? Is this your last game?
Well,
we're going to enjoy the moment as a team, and we'll get to that when it comes. Like, Soto could have knocked that down.
Well, you maybe, but I think this is the only time these reporters are going to have the opportunity to talk to them. And this is something that Josh used to do every year, that KU would get knocked out of the tournament. He'd walk up to every
guy that may be going to the draft that would say, do you have a decision to make? You know, what decision are you going to make? Because this is the last opportunity that you're going to get to talk to Juan Soto, or whether it be Joel Embiid or whoever the case may be. These reporters, this is it. They don't have any other time. The games are over. The series is over. And honestly, what's going to be the biggest story in baseball for the next month or so? It's going to be whether or not Juan Soto signs with the Mets or stays with the Yankees, and how much money Juan Soto gets. So now you got to ask the questions, and he can answer however he wants to answer. I'd rather have him say, look, everything's on the table right now, as opposed to saying, hey, I just lost, and give you, you know, a canned answer. I actually like the way that he handled it.
Juan Soto, I'll give you New York or the field. Where do you think?
Which New York are you talking?
Either one.
Then I'm taking New York. Because I think he goes to the Mets. Okay. I feel like the Mets are going to make this stupid offer that nobody else, even the Yankees, can match.
Okay. I was interested. Like, would you take the field or would you take New York?
I think he's going to San Francisco.
Really? He's already been on the West Coast.
Yeah, I heard he doesn't like the West Coast because it's far from where he lives in the Dominican, so it's too far for him to travel. Otherwise, he probably would have signed with... They said if the owner of the Padres didn't die, he probably would have signed a long-term contract in San Diego, but then, you know, ipso facto, and now he's a free agent. But people say he likes playing on the East Coast because it's close to the Dominican. I heard that yesterday or the day before. So, the minute you start to try to figure out where free agents are going to land, the minute you're going to be wrong. I mean, we're going to speculate for weeks about this guy, right? And where he's going to end up and where he's going to go. And then, like, Toronto's going to come in and offer him something, or, you know, crazy like that. He's going to go to where the biggest offer is. So whoever is prepared to scratch the biggest check is the team that's going to get Juan Soto.
Fair enough. We talked about it yesterday, and I thought it was funny because Carrington had kind of the same take that I had on the Anthony Richardson story, because I mean, I think that is a major story in the NFL.
I agree,
because we've never seen it before, right? Like, you never heard a quarterback be like, I was tired.
I can't remember ever hearing a quarterback tap out like
right.
that.
And here was Shane Steichen on the benching.
All right, I'll start off just by, you know, confirming Joe will be our quarterback going forward. Tough decision, but one I felt was in the best interest of our football team. I feel that Joe gives us the best chance to win right now. With that being said, not giving up on Anthony by any means, really not. He's a young player with a ton of talent, you know, and he'll use this time to continue to develop and grow as a professional.
So my take yesterday was that I used the comp of the NBA draft with Anthony Richardson.
Right.
And Carrington kind of the same way. I was listening to him driving around. I had to go to Hy-Vee for some stuff. And I thought that was interesting because I don't think that it is a give up thing. I think what happens is they drafted him on potential. And in the NFL, you have to get quarterback right or it's not going to happen. And if you don't, you set yourself back 3 years.
Oh, at least. And if you don't have the quarterback right and you don't believe you have the quarterback right, there's no reason you can't draft another quarterback and move on. Like Josh would sit there all the time and go, I don't understand why these teams are so wedded to these quarterbacks. And then we saw the Josh Rosen thing happen in Arizona. And I'm like, I'm not the biggest Kyler Murray fan, but Josh Rosen wasn't the answer. And they moved on after a year. They bounced real fast. We do that with left tackles and guards and centers and everybody else on the roster, but for whatever reason, people want to hang on to these quarterbacks. If you don't think that Anthony Richardson can win you a Super Bowl or get you to the promised land, then move on. Stop overthinking this thing. And it doesn't feel like he's the right guy right now for Indianapolis, and that's fine. You got to move on from him, and it's better to move on from a guy than to sit there and continually waste time trying to make him the guy when he's not the guy.
Yeah. Speaking of the guy, Nate Taylor joins us now here on Fesco and Dustin.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on there, Coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
Nate Taylor joins us here on Fesco and Dusty, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Nate, you ever told your boss at The Athletic, but my fingers hurt and I don't feel like writing?
I mean, would you introduce me like that? I mean, wow.
So it's yes, huh?
I have not tapped my head before. Now, there's been plenty of days, ladies and gentlemen, where I'm not at my writing best, but I'm professional enough to grind through it, you know. So, no, I have not told the New York Times. I've not told the mothership of the Athletic that no, I do not want to work today. As much as I would love to.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
Have you ever, like, were you? I don't know how you, you know, obviously you had a game to cover that Sunday afternoon as well, but like, that's in that noon stretch, right? Like, that's in that time period where everybody's watching the TVs in the press box waiting for, like, you ever see anything like that? Like, a head tap, like, instead of just being like, let's just run the ball this play? I just didn't understand that move.
Yeah. So, you know, just for people to understand, there are times where the quarterback says, hey, give me a snap, or let me rethink something, or hey, give me the option to check to a run if I don't feel great, right? Normally that happens when like you get tackled or like your head, you know, bounces off the turf, and maybe that, you know, and this is like, this predates what is going on now with like the you know, the impartial neurologist kind of up in the booth sort of, you know, initiating, hey, the ref should check you out, maybe you should go by the blue tent, maybe you should go talk to the independent neurologist on the field. So that has happened before. What's new, and yes, I was in Las Vegas. We were watching the games. Anthony Richardson is extremely talented, but somebody had to have told him, hey, man, if you tapped your head because of, like, you know, your ankle or your knee, no one would have, like, you know, batted an eye or really second-guessed it. As much as I love honesty, I agree with most players who said, hey, man, you can't say it was because you're tired out there, man. It's just anything else. Like, hey, maybe I tweaked my hamstring and I just wanted to get it double-checked. Like, say something.
Right.
That's a little bit more, you know, I guess a little bit more coy than saying the thing that's most taboo out loud. So, no, since I've been covering the league, I've never seen that. But I do think it does acknowledge that, like, hey, Anthony Richardson probably has some maturity issues when it comes to being a starting quarterback, considering how difficult the job already is. You cannot play the sport at the highest level at that most demanding position and not be as mature as the job, you know, sort of requires as a prerequisite. So I think that's the bigger issue than even some of the reads or the bad decisions he makes in terms of where he's throwing the football. He has to be mature, which, again, I just want to remind everybody, Patrick Mahomes did not play throughout his entire rookie season until obviously week 17 when they had already locked in their playoff spot.
Right.
But the maturity there for Patrick Mahomes was a lot easier of a transition than it is for Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young, a lot of these, you know, young quarterbacks who are basically thrown out there way too fast, way too early.
Nate, I think, you know, as we approach Monday night, obviously it's a big game, but Tuesday is an even bigger day, the trade deadline in the NFL, and fans love the gossip. They love the conversation of who they can get, what they can get. What is your best guess at what the Chiefs do between now and, what, 3 o'clock on Tuesday, whenever that trade deadline is?
Yeah, it is 3 o'clock on Tuesday. You know, by the way, go out and vote before 3 o'clock on Tuesday, guys. Yeah, I get the sense that it'll either be a receiver or a cornerback. You know, you want to create more margin of error. I think that's where the team is now. They're not in such a desperate need after, you know, acquiring DeAndre Hopkins and him playing, you know, pretty well for the first time in the offense against the Raiders. But I do get the sense that, like, hey, if you want to create more margin of error with, like, one more receiver or one more cornerback, that probably seems to be the most logical avenue for the Chiefs. And, you know, the closer you get to that deadline, maybe you can get that player for a pick swap of 6 rounders or, you know, a pick swap of 7 rounders and, you know, maybe some movability in 2025 or 2026. But I don't think there's going to be a major move, but they can obviously add another player if they feel like it's necessary or if an injury happens in Monday night's game. You also have to remind yourself, too, like,
right,
the deadline is also there to help you in case you do have an injury that you obviously could not have foreseen, you know, in September or in training camp.
So do you said cornerback or wide receiver. You don't think left tackle becomes a need after what we've seen from Wanye maybe not being completely ready to be the guy at that position the entire year?
I don't. I think, you know, what we saw, you know, what Minnesota did was born out of necessity and desperation, right? You know, it's unfortunate that Dursault, their great left tackle, honestly, you know, had his season sort of end on Thursday Night Football against the Rams. So, you know, they were willing to make a trade that normally most teams don't make. I mean, the odds of a left tackle being moved at the deadline, I think it's very low. And the Chiefs still have two options, whether you think they're great or not. Wanya Morris is the more experienced player, so he's playing right now. Again, I still think Kingsley Suamata'ia probably has the higher ceiling. But again, you know, why would you throw a player out there too early, too soon? You know, the Chiefs at least, you know, admitted their issue with that, you know, sooner rather than later. You know, when you're trying to protect the greatest player in franchise history. But we also have to remind ourselves, too, that Mahomes is still playing at an elite level. The left tackle spot could be better, but he mitigates how bad it could be. I just want to remind people that, like, you think it's bad, Kim. Patrick Mahomes covers up a lot that could make it worse with his legs, his you know, his improvisation, his escapability in the pocket, the ability to extend plays. I'd be surprised. That'd be the one thing, fellas, where, like, if they made a trade for a veteran left tackle, I'd be pretty surprised just because you kind of already made the investment and it's not like you have it's not like you're giving up a third-round pick for a left tackle. I just think that would be uncharacteristic for Brett Veach and Andy Reid.
Talking to Nate Taylor of The Athletic and a dear friend of the show here. Nate, we had a topic yesterday of we had one word to describe this Chiefs team through 8 weeks. What is the one word Nate Taylor describes this team as?
Ooh, I like this.
Thank you.
Reliable. I didn't want to say anything like sexy, like alluring or, you know, majestic. You know, I didn't want to say anything like, you know, a name of a young lady. In a certain industry, but they are reliable. You know, the defense is what I mostly attribute that to because you can put them in not great situations and they usually make the best out of it. I think Patrick Mahomes is reliable regardless of who's around him. I think that's sort of the evolution that we're really starting to come to grip with. You know, it's like, hey, it'd be great if he had, like, you know, awesome weapons or healthy, you know, skill position players. It really doesn't matter. He's reliable enough. Like, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is willing to be traded in the middle of the season because Patrick Mahomes is that reliable that he can make it work. He can make it viable. So, again, not sexy, but like, hey, if the game's on the line and Harrison Butker has to make a field goal, guess what? You're going to rely on him.
Yeah.
He's reliable. He's always been very consistent in those situations. If it's a game between, you know, an up-and-coming head coach or a future Hall of Fame head coach, the more reliable option is usually Andy Reid. So that's the word that immediately came to me, fellas, when you asked that question. But I do think that's okay. It's okay to be reliable because more times than not, you're going to be the team that's winning.
Yeah, I use the word smart for the Chiefs. What did you use, Dusty?
Efficient.
Efficient. And Mac, what did you have for the Chiefs?
Prevailing.
So I think we're all kind of in that same, you know, realm there. And when you kind of lump all those words in together, you have a 7-0 football team that should be 8-0 after Monday night. And with a showdown at Buffalo coming up in a couple of weeks, would a win against Buffalo be the one that finally has people like Ryan Clark to stop saying that Lamar Jackson is the best player on earth?
It would help. Sure. I don't think it's necessary. I just want to remind people, like, beating the Chiefs in October or November is not the same as beating them in January.
No.
So we've gone through this before, and I'm okay with kind of admitting to myself that, like, hey, they lost to the Bills last year because of Kadarius Toney. Okay,
right.
He's not on the roster anymore. Hey, in 2022, they lost to the Bills in October because, you know, Patrick threw a late game interception and Von Miller, like, kind of went off. Right. And that was that was their big free agency move. It really hasn't worked out really since that day. But hey, you know, Von Miller had a great game in October, 2022. That is not the same as beating the Chiefs in a gotta have a game in January. So yes, I disagree with Ryan Clark.
Yep.
I think the two best players in the league right now And you can say this is more of a preference thing. I don't even think you have to necessarily like, compare the two because they are in such unique circumstances. Again, they, like Patrick Mahomes is playing with guys who were – he's playing more often with guys who were not on the roster in training camp than guys who were on the roster in training camp, which is crazy.
Wow, when you put it that way, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I'm riding on in terms of, again, the evolution that Mahomes is going through where, again, I think half the league would be, like, screwed, would be utterly, like, incomparable in terms of, like, how can we compete on a down-by-down basis. But, again, Patrick can sort of just make it work because he's that talented. In terms of what Josh Allen is doing, it is literally every Sunday going into the locker room and putting a cape on. Because there's no way the Buffalo Bills should be this good, guys. And the one time he didn't have it was against the Baltimore Ravens. And I think that's a bad matchup for them, mostly in the trenches. But, like, can you imagine that, like, every Sunday, which, again, no Stephon Diggs, he has no great skill position players, guys. The defense is pretty average. It's okay. It's not terrible, but it's okay. And, like, he's like, fine, we'll just fly to Seattle. I'll just put my cape on, and I'll just be amazing for the next 3 hours. I mean, I watched that game back, and I was just like, it's stunning how good Josh Allen is. But he's in a situation that is more normal, that is more legitimate, whereas I think Patrick Mahomes is in the most unique circumstance in the entire NFL, which is, hey, man, your huddle is Juju Smith-Schuster, wasn't here in August. Obviously, there's either Samaje Perine or, you know, Kareem Hunt. They weren't here in August. And hey, by the way, we just traded for DeAndre Hopkins. We might trade for another receiver. Mm-hmm. And again, they were not here in August. So for all the things that have gone on, I think the two players that should really be at the forefront of the MVP race is Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, because what they are doing is truly remarkable and needs to be appreciated, considering that I didn't think either one of them was going to be the MVP this season.
Right.
I thought it would be someone else. I thought it would be like Jordan Love. Maybe Lamar Jackson, but it's hard to win back-to-back MVP if you look at the traditional history of the NFL. But those are the two guys that really jump out to me. And so I think Ryan Clark is wrong because Lamar Jackson did not play well. When you really look at it, he did not play well against the Cleveland Browns, and that's one of the reasons why they lost.
Yep. Last two fun ones here because it is Halloween. What's the number one Halloween candy for Nate Taylor?
Okay, traditionally, kids, it's Reese's.
Right.
Let's keep it simple. I love them to death. God, they're so good.
Yeah.
I think if I have to go like more off the board, like if I'm in like the third round of the candy draft and I'm hoping to find a diamond in the rough, I gotta say it, guys. Nerds are back, baby.
Oh, the nerd clusters.
Nerds. Yeah. Nerds.
And then last one, what's little Nate Taylor's Halloween costume this year?
So Hayden, Michael Taylor this year. Is slight drum roll Harry Potter.
Oh cool. Okay. All right. Nice.
Introducing to the wizardy.
I thought you were going to say like Eric Hosmer.
what's crazy is though, like I think for a few moments he might have been Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, right.
Just because he was getting wrapped up in playoff baseball. This is something that his mother introduced. Holly introduced him to Harry Potter. She's more of the Harry Potter fan than I am. So people asked me to be, Dumbledore? How do you say his name again?
Yeah, Dumbledore?
Yeah. Dumbledore, yeah. So, I mean, I don't have it in me.
Okay. You're just going to go as a hot dog and whip my ass in the race, right?
We'll just let Hayden be the star. It's pretty cool to see how excited he was to wear his costume to school today. So shout out to all the teachers that
hopped up on kids, man.
Yep.
All right, Nate. Well, hey, take care. Text line loves you. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right, fellas. Tell the text line I said I love you, too. Thank you, guys.
No doubt about it. Nate Taylor there, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. It is the end of an hour. Coming back, scariest player. It's Halloween. It's scariest players in the NFL. Mac, he's not a Halloween guy, but he's got some scary players he's ready to talk to us about here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Who are you going to call? 96.5 The Fan. I guess we could have been Ghostbusters for Halloween.
Didn't they do an all-female cast with the Ghostbusters?
From what I heard, it sucked.
I heard it was a bad movie, right? You guys heard that, too? I don't think it lasted long in the movie theater, and I don't even know that I've seen it at Blockbuster yet.
A star-studded cast. They spent a lot of money on it.
Yeah. A lot of people asking me. My buddy Nick just texted me and goes, why is the Jets line the way it is?
Everybody's wondering this.
He's like, I'm not touching it. And I'm like, man, I think I'm going to put $30 on the money line.
Put 10 on each side to win.
Hedge yourself. Yeah. I'm looking at boosts on my DraftKings thing. It says Houston versus New York Jets super single game parlay boost. Like, I feel like you have to have like legs for that. Maybe you don't.
Is this the most confusing game we've seen in a long time in the NFL?
Yeah, because it doesn't make sense. It's scary.
I don't remember since legalized gambling has come to the state of Kansas. It was, 2 years now. Mm-hmm. I don't remember ever having a conversation like this and looking at a game that is so confusing to so many people. And we'll have Alex in at 9:20 today to talk about it. I think he's staying away from this game as well.
He's kind of staying away.
Unless he's decided to, kind of come on board a little bit, with this one. But he's going to talk about that Thursday night game. But I don't remember seeing a game where so many people are looking at this and going, all right, what's the catch here? It's like my mother, my whole life. They're going to screw you. You're getting screwed. You're getting screwed. Mm-hmm. You're getting screwed. I feel like with this line, everybody kind of has that same feeling of like, how are we getting screwed on this one?
What's
the catch here? What don't we know? Because on paper, and this is why you don't play the games on paper, this is why you play them actually on a field and you don't use stats. On paper, it should be a Houston Texans win. Like, you just look at it, you go, the Jets are 2-6. Aaron Rodgers can't play. Houston's a much better team. They have a much better coach quarterback combination. They got maybe the best defensive lineman out there right now next to Chris Jones. Like, they've got, CJ Stroud is fantastic. Joe Mixon is playing well.
Mm-hmm.
What's the holdup here? Like, why is Houston a dog on this one? Then you go, well, it's Thursday night, but then you look at the thing and it's 4-4 home teams versus road teams on Thursday night football. So it's not even a home advantage in this one. Is it the Aaron Rodgers, people are playing the eventually he's got to break out type of game? Because I hate to be the bearer of bad news. He doesn't have to break out eventually. He could be done as a football player.
There's a lot of your network savior texts, like the networks need it. Amazon Prime needs the Jets to win. People need the Jets to win. I just don't buy that.
Well, I don't know that Amazon Prime needs the Jets to win. This is their Thursday night game. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter going forward for them. They're getting about 15 million people per game.
They're loving this line. They're loving what Vegas is doing.
Like, the Jets are still a compelling story in the NFL. They Right. If you fall the 2-7, you don't need to hear from Aaron Rodgers every Tuesday on McAfee. Don't anymore, right? If they're 2-7, a lot of the buzz surrounding the Jets is over. It's done. It's history. But if they win, they're 3-6. It's still compelling, and it's good for the networks. It's good for their partners. It's good to have Aaron Rodgers relevant because he is such a polarizing figure in this league. Like, I don't think Patrick Mahomes is a polarizing figure at all. I don't think Lamar is a polarizing figure. Aaron Rodgers is a polarizing figure in this league right now. And so when you have somebody like that, you want to try to keep them relevant for as long as you possibly can. I don't know. We saw a face mask not get called last week on Thursday Night Football.
Egregious.
And it's Halloween. What strange things are going to happen tonight to try to keep the Jets alive?
Speaking of Halloween, Mac, you have a list of the scariest players in the NFL.
Scariest NFL players.
Yeah.
First off, I think I got to go with this guy, Myles Garrett. What do y'all think?
Current player in the NFL is the scariest?
I'm going current.
I mean, he's pretty damn scary, right? You don't want to see him lined. Like, how do you think Wanya Morris would feel looking across from Myles Garrett at this point in
time? I'd be scared for Wanya Morris.
Right? I think coming in as the Terminator is obviously the number one factor, plus of who he is. Like, I mean, the guy is just a specimen of a man.
Mm-hmm.
He is by far the scariest player in the NFL. I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, I don't know if it's close either. If that's first, and let's just kind of go, let's figure out who's second, right? I listed T.J. Watt, pretty scary.
He's pretty damn scary, too.
He
could rival Myles Garrett as scary because you don't want to see that guy lined up across from you either. Right. That guy just wrecks plays and wrecks quarterbacks and wrecks seasons.
When he looks like possessed in the game.
Yeah.
Like, he literally looks like he's not even like, he's looking into your soul.
Right,
Maybe a little homerism here, but I put our guy, Chris Jones.
Yeah. He's
6'5", 295. He's just bears for paws. He crashes double teams. I mean, he's scary.
Did you say he has bears for paws?
Paws for bear paws for hands. There we go. Yeah, I got there. Paws for hands. I got there.
Somebody got into the wrong nerd cluster bag.
Yeah, no doubt. I love the way Chris Jones is playing this year. I am more impressed with Chris Jones and the way he's playing this year than maybe anybody else on this football team right now. No, he's having a superior season right now.
Right.
He is the taco pizza from Casey's, if you're ranking when it comes to having seasons. Like, I mean, that's above brioche. Like, Chris Jones is playing spectacularly right now.
Yeah, he's good. He's scary because, like, he's super, like, fun and loving and has a good laugh and, like, a soft-spoken voice. And then you see him on the field and you're like, oh, my God, that's not the same man.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's the scary part of Chris Jones, that he just kind of, like, turns it on the field and you're like...
Like, he's boys with you, then the ball snapped.
And it's like, he wants to rip your head off.
He ain't boys with you no more.
He hears home of the Chiefs, that tear streams down the face, and it is game time.
It's game time, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sticking with current, and then we can go some pass players, some really scary pass players as well. Derrick Henry, kind of the only offensive guy that came to mind here for scary. It's just so easy to go to the big defensive guys. Mm. Derrick Henry, though, is frightening.
You getting in the way of Derrick Henry if he's coming down the field?
No.
I'm good.
Absolutely not. I would put my foot out and trip him like Tomlin tried to trip that guy on the sidelines.
Yeah, exactly. Forgot about that. Yeah, right.
Suspension. Do you think Mahomes is considered scary?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, I think like who can beat you at any point on any play at any place on the field? It's Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, right. I think he scares the living daylights out
of everybody.
I think
that's like a mental fear.
Yeah.
Whereas like Myles Garrett, I'm like frightened for my life. I'm going to pee my pants. Whereas like Mahomes is like, he's going to get inside my head. He's going to figure out what I'm thinking and he's going to calculated just destroy me.
Like Andy Reid's scary. I think if you're on the other sideline as a coach in this league and you're looking across the way, you go, well, that guy's kicking my ass. Like there's literally nothing I can do to be better than Andy Reid. So F it.
Text line brings up Max Crosby.
That's a good one too.
Great one.
I like the two X's at the end of his name.
Me too.
I like that. Yeah. You should go with two C's. You should be Mac Crosby.
Well, there's what? How many C's in thick these days? It's THICCEC.
A lot of C's.
Yeah. And I think Aiden Hutchinson can be kind of scary.
Yeah, but he's not playing right now. But you're right. That look with the eye black, I think, adds
like the way it, like,
the triangles under his eyes. Like, I like that a lot.
Text line says DK Metcalf should make the list. That guy's scary. Guy's fast, strong.
Yep.
That's true. See the pass fire.
Josh Allen could make the list.
Josh Allen, very scary.
Scary in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Beat you with the legs, beat you with the arm, kind of do everything.
He scares Buffalo fans in the playoffs.
Exactly. Now you know what I was doing there.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson is a ghost in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Would you say it's been 3 years, but would you say in Kansas City that Joe Burrow is a little scary?
Oh, always. Because once somebody beats you, you always have that in the back of your mind, right? You always are like, is he going to get me this time?
Once Macaulay Culkin did his photo shoot as Joe Burrow over the past couple days, I'm no longer in fear.
You're not afraid of Joe Burrow.
That's going to go platinum on Twitter when Joe Burrow plays bad, man. It's going to be awesome.
Joe Burrow is Macaulay Culkin. He's made his team disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He has, yeah.
He can sleep up at the height of bed with Fuller the rest of the night.
Who's the old man then with the shovel if Joe Burrow is Macaulay Culkin?
Like on the Bengals?
Or anywhere. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Aaron Rodgers?
Like his neighbor, maybe?
There's a bunch of false prophets about the guy that put like bodies and salt in the thing. And then in reality, he's really just a nice guy that nobody wants to get to know.
Right.
But he leaves this false image.
Yeah, but I don't think that's Aaron Rodgers.
No, probably not. Probably Max Crosby.
Good, that's a good one. I could
maybe Max is just a nice guy that just does dumb things on the football field.
Like Aaron Rodgers, I think everybody knows who he is. I don't think there's anybody out there that's like, you know what, I'd like to be friends with him.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers knows who he is.
Man, maybe not.
I think maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But yeah. Ed Reed's
on your
list.
He's searching for it.
Yeah, mention Ed Reed. I think that's a good.
That beard.
Yeah, man. The beard. Visor. I just picture him because it's Baltimore, like the breath coming out because it's 20 degrees.
Ray Lewis. Yeah, he's really scary because he's seen murder.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's true.
Is OJ Simpson considered scary?
He's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's people in hell that are terrified.
Oh, God, yes.
Turn your head, you might get stabbed.
Hey, see this guy coming. Oh, man, they let him in here? It's hell.
How's your Bills jersey still attached to your skin?
I can't believe people wear an OJ Simpson jersey still.
He's pretty scary. As a server, I'm terrified of O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that new Aaron Hernandez thing, but I've heard it's pretty funny.
I heard it's scary bad.
Yeah, I've heard it's really bad.
Yeah, I don't think you want to see that.
I mean, like, terrible acting.
Well, they score a touchdown out of bounds.
Yeah. What are we doing,
man? Well, the Ravens saw that, and they're like, why aren't we giving this, our touchdown credit? It was out of bounds. Aaron Hernandez got it. Aaron Hernandez is going to kill you if you didn't call it a touchdown.
Mm. Carl Cheffers reffing a playoff game.
That's good. I do like that. That's really good. Well done. You get the day. I like that. That's a day off text right there.
They get to see Cheffers.
Deshaun Watson is scary in a different way. Yes. Peyton Manning's neck is scary. All right. Coming up on the other side, we talk about what that was last night, because I love to see what the result was in last night's baseball game. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.